and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
I don't know. It says great weather. It makes me goofy. Hey, it is 3 p.m. in the East, and you know what that means. Time for That Showbiz with Chuck Darrow. That remains moi. And it is, because I always comment on the weather, and this is the kind of day you want to bottle and put away until, like, next January or something. What a beautiful, perfect spring afternoon here in the Delaware Valley. And we got a pretty cool show for you today. We're going to switch gears. We've been doing some celebrities. And speaking of celebs, we got another biggie coming on the show next week. I just want to get that out of the way so I don't forget. Dennis Miller, who is appearing at Parks Casino on May 17th, will be chatting us up next Tuesday at 3 p.m. So you'll absolutely want to tune in for that really big shoe. But we got a great show today because sitting, and it's special because usually I do this alone. I'm a kind of a solitary man, if you will, to coin a phrase. But today I actually have a live warm body in the studio with me, and his name is Peter S. Martin. And Pete Martin is among a very talented gentleman, but among his most recent accomplishments, he just opened what I think is like just an amazing whiskey bar and eatery and drinkery in Ardmore, right next to the Ardmore Music Hall. It is called the Ripplewood Whiskey and Craft. And it, you got to go there. And you got to go soon because otherwise you're not going to get a table. I mean, it's just, I mean, it's blowing out the walls already and well deserved because the food is amazing. The drink is amazing. The space is amazing. And we're going to talk to Peter about it because it's kind of a different concept. And it's also an interesting story, especially behind the name of the Ripplewood. So stay tuned for that. What else? Let's see. What else is there? I got to give props actually to Borgata Hotel, Casino, and Spa, which yesterday announced that this summer, their 15th anniversary summer, they're doing it upright. They have, among many others, they have Dave Chappelle, Cher, and Barry Manilow, who I personally love going to see in concert. I mean, we all have our crosses to bear in life, and yes, that is indeed one of mine. I am a huge Barry Manilow fan. No, I never sit and listen to Barry Manilow albums, but as I always say, two things. One, you know, if you're going to do that kind of middle-of-the-road music, like pop music, nobody does it better than Barry Manilow. He's a melody guy first and foremost, as am I, and he just does it right. And I've seen a lot of great performers in concert for many, many years, for decades, and no one, not even Neil Diamond, speaking of solitary men, is as solicitous of his audience that I've ever seen as Barry Manilow. I mean, he just knows what the people are there to hear and see, and he gleefully and cheerfully gives it to them. And that, to me, is the hallmark of a real entertainer. So, Cher, who hasn't been in Atlantic City for, geez, I don't even remember the last time she was in AC. I remember the first time when she played the Sands. I'll never forget. I asked her if it was her ticket was the first $200 ticket ever at an Atlantic City casino, and I asked her at the press conference if she was worth $200, and she said, I don't think anyone's worth $200. This was like 1990, so $200 then is more like probably $500 now, something like that. Anyway, congrats to Borgata, and maybe Cher or Barry Manilow will pop on by the show one day. You never know. But here's what I do know, that right now we're going to kick things off, as we always do, in the most fab manner, and that is with Neil Zurin. Neil, of course, you read him all the time in the Delaware County Times, neilspaper.com. Hey, Neil.
How you doing?
Swinging, baby.
I'm
showing off for company today, that's all. You know.
That's okay. I have a nephew who does that. I think he's a reincarnation of my father. My niece tells me he never acts a certain way unless I'm in the room. I says, Dad, that's
Well, you know what?
God, I know it.
You know what? I'm a big reincarnation guy, so that to me sounds about right. Anyway,
What
are you incarnating as this week? Are we talking TV or are we talking theater?
Well, actually, I know how you feel about the royal family. We have to warn people then, in that case. Instead of informing them, we'll warn them about all the barrage of things that are going to be on television about the royal family leading up to the wedding, which is next week. But it already starts this week. And the thing that intrigues me most, and not a lot, but just most, this is something I think is good. It's something that I'm curious about, is that Lifetime, and you know Lifetime tends to be melodramatic and soppy anyway, has already done a movie that they're going to air on Sunday about the romance of Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, played by two people who look a lot like them. I've seen the pictures. I haven't seen the movie. I have seen the pictures. And then, of course, all of next week, Murders by Era on PBS is going to do things leading up to the wedding. Now, this is public television, mind you. This isn't ABC or CNN or somebody else doing it. It's PBS. But at least it has the one journalist who's left it in America doing it. I like Meredith Vieira. She's one of my favorites. So now that you've stopped gagging, Chuck, I'm going to leave that topic. But I thought people should know.
Well, thanks. Thank you for the warning. And again, it's really not so much I have anything personally. And if I were British, I'm sure I would be as gaga over them as anyone else. Here's my problem with it's not with the royal family. It's with Americans' reaction to the royal family.
Yeah.
You know, I guess I totally misunderstood, but I thought we actually fought a war once about 240 years ago or so,
42
to be exact. Because so we wouldn't have to treat these useless people like that. That's what kills me. The Americans go so gaga over this family, which really, for the most part, is about as useless as they come. You know?
Well, actually, Elizabeth has not been useless. You know, I agree with you about that. But I do like Elizabeth, and she is a hard worker. I don't know that anybody following her will be. I think she's the last of the. Just like I think the original George Bush is the last of the decent presidents we're ever going to have as long as we live. I think Elizabeth is the last decent monarch. But you know, hopefully we'll be around to find out.
Well, there we go. There
that
we go.
Be the great thing.
Anyway, we got a few minutes still. So you gave us a dire warning. What else?
Well, actually, that's the main thing about television right now. I mean, there are some things coming up, but there's always the theater, and there's a couple of things that I've seen that I really like. Unfortunately, one of them is not the new Michael Hollinger piece. I liked Hope and Gravity better than I like Sing the Body Electric, but even so, it has some good laughs, but basically is bland, and that's my problem with it. What is a lot of fun is in Bristol. The Bristol Riverside Theater is becoming really a great haven for seeing things in the suburbs.
Hey, it has been, I mean, for a while. It must have been 3 or 4 years ago. They did a spectacular Ragtime, I thought, for instance.
They did. Almost anything Keith Baker in particular. Susan Atkinson is great, too. But whatever Keith touches these days, it turns to gold. I gave them my award last year, Keith and the show and the theater, for the Jesus Christ Superstar. The Ragtime was superb.
Yep.
And now they're doing a sort of specialty piece, sort of a chamber musical called The Triumph of Love, which is based on an 18th century French play by a writer who I particularly like, I mean more than like, he's one of my favorites, is Marivaux, because he knows how to be witty and elegant while being silly a little bit and having fun. And Keith Baker brings that to the production, and so do the people who adapted Marivaux to the musical, who are Susan Birkenhead, Jeffrey Stock, and I'm blanking on the first name. No, no, it's Jack Magruder. I don't have it in front of me. That's why
okay.
I'm blank. But I'm just making
the names up. Scooter McGurk.
Yeah, but
wrote the music.
Hey, I can be hired by Fox or MSC. If I make the news up, I have a chance on every station in the world.
Yes, you do.
You know, it's like the old line in The Odd Couple. I don't remember if you remember this line in The Odd Couple, but one of the cuckoo pigeon sisters, when Felix says he works for CBS and they ask him what he does, he says, "Well, I write the news," something I can relate to actually personally. And they said, "Where do you get your ideas?"
Right. Funny.
I think, you know, and yeah. Actually can picture the Jack Lemmon and Tony right. Randall glare when
So let's get back on track here because we only have about 30 seconds now. Oh no, we have more. Oh, I'm sorry. You know what? No, we actually have a little more than that. I'm lousy at math. Go ahead.
So let's stick with the triumph of love because what it is it's just frothy. It's in the 18th century. It's about a romance. It's about it's a little bit serious because it's a classic. It's about head over heart. There's one kingdom where everything is scholarly, another kingdom where everything's sensuous. The king of one wants to kill the king of the other because they just don't like each other and because they think that the one king's family killed the other king's family. Anyway, naturally, it's actually a king, a prince and a queen, and they fall in love. So, or at least the queen falls in love with him and everything comes out nicely, man, because it's a comedy. But it's just a delight because of the wit of the script, because of the Roman de Tarowitz set in the 18th century, it looked like a little postcard of the 18th century, topiary everywhere, interesting statues, little castle in the background, good production and smart and well performed too, especially by the three clowns. There's three clowns in it. I usually don't like clowns.
Me neither.
I don't like, you want to be antic, be Groucho Marx. If there's anything else, I'm not going to like it. But in this case, it's Rebecca Robin, so I'm glad to see is doing well because the last two things she did, The Walnut, I thought she was great, but I thought she was saddled with bad productions. And Adam Hoyek and Daniel Lutoniano, who just did it, the producers there. They're just fabulous. Anytime they're on stage, and I love even the choreography.
Okay, and unfortunately...
You
like the show. And what's it called again, real fast?
It's called The Triumph of Love.
Triumph
Another
of Love.
Another show...
No, that's it. That's it. Yeah, that's it. You've used up your time, so just go back. Go back into your pod, and next week we'll pull you out, and you can do it again.
Okay. Thanks.
No, thanks, Neil. Neil Zurin. Thank you very much. I'm just being goofy today. That's all.
That's okay. I'm Pluto, but shut up because I can't talk.
All right, take care. We're going to go after that. How can we even do anything after Neil's? I don't even know how we get through each week after Neil gets us started like that. But we're going to move on to, of course, Ken Allen, who generally follows Neil on this show. And Ken, I think, is going to give us a potpourri of ideas this week where to go, right?
Yes, a potpourri. Or is it a poopourri?
Poopourri.
No, we'll do a potpourri today. How you doing, Chuck?
I'm swinging, baby.
Good. Yeah, I wanted to give a roundup. It's been a while since I gave an overview of what's happening in the area because God knows everything is moving and constant and ever-changing in this whole restaurant region.
In the immortal and beloved words of Andy Reid, time's yours.
Thanks. So I'll start with King of Prussia because, you know, they need more restaurants.
Right, exactly.
There's hardly any place to go to.
They can starve at that place.
And not only do they need more restaurants, they need more steakhouses. And as of just a couple days ago, they have another one. A restaurant opened up on Mall Boulevard just across from the King of Prussia Mall. And it's right next to the Capitol Grill, and it's called J. Alexander's. And J. Alexander's is a steakhouse, but it's a casual steakhouse. The roots of the company are in Charleston, South Carolina.
So that means what? You can overpay ridiculously while wearing jeans?
Yeah, but you know what? At the Capitol Grill anymore or any of the other finer steakhouses, you can do the same thing anyway. Because you can wear jeans there too these days.
Right.
So no judging, just saying.
No, right.
But this is even jeansier. You can have bigger holes at J. Alexander's. I haven't been there yet, and it is brand new, and I'll give it some time to shake out, but it's something else on the scene there. Also in King of Prussia, and this is right on Route 202, right next to Sullivan's Steakhouse is a place called Eddie V's. And Eddie V's opens up in about a month. And Eddie V's is owned by Darden Corporation. Darden has, among other restaurants,
Olive Garden, right?
Olive Garden, Red Lobster, Seasons 52.
Right.
and the Capitol Grill. So it is to seafood, Eddie V's, what Capitol Grill is to steak. And, you know, but the idea is that they're looking for a high-end seafood restaurant right next to Sullivan's, right down
from... Well, that sounds like something that probably would work out that way. And, you know, there's not a lot of seafood emphasis anywhere these days, is there?
Not really, no. Except, you know, the sign of a good steakhouse, like
good
Capitol Grill,
right,
is its seafood. So this, you know, I think that they'll capture more of a market than some of the other places because they're not consuming themselves quite as much. But the whole scene out there, they're all fighting for just the crumbs. It's kind of crazy.
Well, but
good. I mean, I'm happy to see it all happening. But
okay.
So other things happen in King of Prussia. There's Working Horse Brewing Company. It's just that. It's a craft brewer, a microbrewer that's in the area, as well as a mid-scale Italian restaurant called North Italia. And North Italia opens August 1st, and that's going to be inside the King of Prussia Mall.
And that's going to be Northern Italian cuisine, which is not red gravy and pasta.
Yeah, a little bit different from your Maggiano's and your Ralph's restaurant out there. So they're trying for their own niche, as it were, but, you know, Northern Italian. So, again, something sort of needed if you're going to do something a little different. In the city, in Philadelphia, a lot of stuff happening, as you know, but one of the biggest things is Tatel, T-A-T-E-L, Tatel. I mentioned this one briefly a bunch of months ago because it's a big-scale project that's right at the Boyd Building, right there on Chestnut Street at 19th. And Tatel is going to be a Spanish... themed restaurant and with Spaniard sports stars who are the main contributors, including Rafael Nadal and some high finance soccer players, professional soccer players, and as well as Rafael Nadal. And that opens up in, I guess, about a month and a half or so, tentatively, along with Spanish-style food, especially coastal cuisine. They're going to have live entertainment there and some dancing, from what I understand. So this is like the big opening of the year, I think, in the city, besides what's happening over at the Comcast, the new Comcast Technology Center. And I'll talk about that at another time, but I did discuss that briefly, where you have two very high-end restaurants that are going to take shape there.
Right.
So some big stuff at the new Four Seasons to come. I want to quickly give props to Camille Cogswell. And Camille is one of the head chefs over at Zahav in Philadelphia, and she just was awarded with our city's only James Beard Award. Yeah, there was a number of nominees, and she took the nod for it for Philadelphia as best chef in Mid-Atlantic region, and which is exciting.
It's great to hear Philly get
that recognition. On the flip side, I did want to quickly mention it is big news and it's sad news in the world of restauranting, how Chef Jose Garces filed for bankruptcy, and his debtors are trying to block him from doing as such.
Right, because they're going to get left out in the cold.
Yeah, and already, you know, they can get in line. There's so many food purveyors that are already
Isn't it ironic, in our last 90 seconds or so, isn't it ironic that if I'm reading it correctly, that, not, I mean, there's other issues, I'm sure, but sort of the issue that he cited as being kind of causing his downfall was the closing of Revel, because he was apparently doing so well with his four concepts there. I think it was four. Mm-hmm. But yet the casino itself was such an abject failure, but yet he said ironic that the closing of this horribly run, you know, stupidly conceived casino actually led to you know, his economic problems.
In part, right. That and overextension with too many other restaurants at the same time.
Well, right. I mean, I think that's always the case. But the Fuderati in town certainly has a great scandal to watch now with this, right? Because this may go to court, and who knows what's going to come out there. So yeah. I'm sure that's great sport for many people in that realm, because that's just the way people are. Well, I think we can cut it off here. That was pretty interesting, especially to learn that there's yet another steakhouse coming to King of Prussia. I don't get that at all, but that's why I'm not a restaurateur. But coming up in just a moment, we will talk to a restaurateur live and in the studio. But in the meantime, we thank you so much, Ken Allen, for your work each and every week here, and talk to you soon next week.
Thanks, Chuck.
Take care again. And you know what? Right after this extremely short break, we will be back with Ripplewood Craft and Whiskey and Craft co-owner Peter Martin.
Sign up for a Rush Rewards card at Sugar House Casino, and you could earn up to $300 in same-day free play on your first visit. In enrolling, new Rush Rewards members receive $10 in free play guaranteed. Visit Rush Rewards for details. The all-new Sugar House Casino. More to love. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
They just told us right away that we're going to house you, we're going to feed you, and every single one of his medical bills is just all taken care of.
They've saved my family from financial ruin. It allowed me and my wife both to focus on the most important thing, which was the health and well-being of our son.
We have phenomenal research, outstanding clinical care, and the generosity of public, which allow us to treat patients regardless of what it takes. And that's what makes St. Jude so magical.
At St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, families never receive a bill for treatment, travel, housing, or food, because the only thing a family should worry about is helping their child live.
Doctors send us the toughest cases to be treated at St. Jude, and our patients come from all over the world.
When we come here, they told me, don't worry, everything will be taken care of.
We could never repay St. Jude for what they've given us.
Because of you.
Gracias a ti.
Because of you.
There is St. Jude.
It's a hand-me-down. The four hearts are broken. Perhaps they're better, left unsung, I don't know, don't really care, let there be songs to fill the air.
Now, that, hello, I'm not hearing myself, but I'll talk anyway. Hopefully everybody else is. Anyway, so that song wasn't played just totally at random. There was a reason why, because sitting in the studio with me today is a gentleman who just recently opened a bar, whiskey bar and restaurant called Ripplewood Whiskey and Craft, and the title or the name of the bar, as we're going to soon find out, I think, is inspired by that song Ripple by the Grateful Dead. So with no further ado, I welcome to that showbiz Peter S. Martin.
Thanks,
hey,
Chuck.
Man, great to have you in the studio.
It's awesome. Thank you for having us.
Yes, nice to have company here. So let's, before we get into the naming thereof, let's talk a little bit about, as I know as you like to call, the RIP.
Right.
RIPP. Mm-hmm. It is located, I don't know, what's the address?
29 East Lancaster Avenue in Ardmore.
Ardmore. It shares a wall with the Ardmore Music Hall, so it'd be very easy to find. And talk, it's not a steakhouse, and this is kind of a little different concept, not only for Ardmore, but pretty much for anywhere. So talk about what exactly it is that you're doing over there.
Sure. So one day my wife and son went away to ski, and I ran up to Ardmore and bought some real estate. And basically, I thought, better to ask for forgiveness than permission.
Love it.
So when she got back from skiing, I said, come on up. I want to show you something. And I was really inspired by not just the Ardmore Music Hall, but Tired Hands Fermenteria, which is across the street, and a place called Mido, which is a Japanese grocery store, which is unique for the whole Philadelphia area. And finally, the fourth pillar of this corner area, Bella Italia Pizza, which has been there for 40 years. I think it's the best pizza slices around, including downtown Philly. Wow. But everyone has their opinion.
Sure.
But anyway, that's what.
Now, did you? So you went out. I mean, you did it specifically because you wanted to get in. Because your background is not in culinary arts by any stretch, right?
No, I really did it because I really liked this piece of real estate, and so my sole motivation was, no matter what happens here, this is a good property to own. I live in Lower Merion Township. So it meant a lot to me that I could find something local, and it reminded me of, say, Midtown Village before Midtown Village happened with Tony Goldman. It reminded me of Passyunk Avenue before that got turned around, and I know it seems far-fetched to compare suburban Ardmore to that, but I think it's really coming.
Well, apparently that is exactly the case, and it was you who sent me the link to the article that said that Ardmore is one of the five hippest places in the country now.
Exactly. Well, it was an article in Business Insider about the five hippest places in Philadelphia.
Oh, Philadelphia.
And it was Fairmount.
Oh, right.
And it was Fishtown. And Manayunk was in there and one other. And then Ardmore. And it said technically not in the city, but
we're
saying that this is going to be some really special place.
But, when did you decide to take the plunge yourself? I mean, you saw it as a great piece of real estate, mm-hmm. but you didn't necessarily see it as a place where you could open a bar.
No, I wasn't really thinking of it at the very, very beginning. But then a series of events happened that were just fortuitous, where I was able to secure a liquor license that was already in the township, which was a big stumbling block usually.
Right.
And once I got a hold of that, I started thinking about, what do I want to do with this space? So I went around and looked at other music venues in and around the East Coast. I went up to the Capitol Theater in Port Chester, New York, which the Dead played at a lot. And sure enough, yep. right next door is this cool bar called Garcia's. And they have food and they have drink, and people go there before and after the shows. And then I went and looked at even the Keswick, and they've got
Dino's
next door. And
which we've talked about a lot on the show.
And so I started thinking, well, what could go into this space? And I thought of the old name Ripplewood, which was a bar on Old York Road in Elkins Park, where I grew up, and it was affectionately known as the Rip. And it was actually called Three Brothers Ripplewood. And so I was able to secure the name. It had gone out of business many years ago, and now we've kind of resurrected it. And a lot of Cheltenham people move over to Lower Merion too, so everybody remembers it.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but what opened a week or two ago is not your original concept, correct?
No. What happened was I fortuitously met a guy who hooked me up with a great bar designer, and her name is Diana Schwartz, and she introduced me to a chef who was looking for an opportunity for himself. Turns out he's from Lower Merion originally too, and he wanted to come back and make his mark, and he and I hit it off. His name is Biff Goderer, and he worked at Dandelion. He cooked it in Riva, and his last job was at Stove and Tap in Lansdale, and he and I became partners, and he's just really set the world on fire because of his dedication.
And also his cooking skills. I mean, as my wife and children will attest to, I don't have the most sophisticated palate in the world.
Okay.
But we were there last Tuesday night, and just some stuff I've never even, like the Brussels, was it the Brussels sprouts?
Yeah,
right?
The Brussels sprouts.
I mean, I despise Brussels sprouts. When I roar of the universe, that's what I'm going to be the first things to go. But yet, what he does with them is incredible.
Thanks.
And I was blown away by the ribs. And if you want to talk about what's on the, what the quote sauce is,
right.
But it's not.
It's a root beer based.
I thought it was Dr. Pepper.
Dr. Pepper, right, correct.
Yeah. I mean, and it's not a thick, heavy, gloopy, sweet sauce. It's more of a glaze.
Right.
And it's just out of this world.
I've had a lot of those ribs, Chuck.
I'm sure.
But also, I want to throw in the Crab Louie and the grilled
octopus.
Crab
Louie.
The rip fries with brisket. Our burger has bologna on it, which he grills, and then it turns it into almost like a some kind of neat-tasting bacon that I've never tasted before. And then we actually have – it's not all apps, but – we're very app-centric at the Ripplewood.
And the small plates.
Yeah, small plates.
Right. And the price points are certainly reasonable.
Yeah, we want to be that neighborhood place. We want it to be affordable for everyone. We want to have a great reasonably priced burger, so you can get a burger and two beers and not feel like you can't go out, you know, and still pay the babysitter, that type of thing. I also just wanted to shout out to the other guys that have joined us. Matt Martin, no relation to me, but he came from Continental Midtown. He's the GM. He's done an amazing job. And Ian Boston McCafferty, who worked at Jack's Firehouse, and 15 years at the Starbucks on Montgomery Avenue in Laurie Marine. So everybody comes in and thinks, I know this guy from somewhere.
Right.
And he's behind the bar.
Just really fabulous stuff.
Thank you.
Now, did anyone warn you, though, about the restaurant business? Because you and I have had this conversation,
sure.
And I say this jokingly, but there is, you know, I mean, some always a kernel of truth anyway.
Right.
When I, in a previous lifetime, about 30-plus years ago, I did some restaurant PR work, and my one takeaway was, this is a business. Owning a restaurant is something I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy,
mm-hmm.
you know, much less a friend. I mean, it just seems to be such a brutally difficult realm to exist in for any number of reasons.
Right.
So what have your, as a first timer, what have your experiences been?
Well, one thing I think that's different, you know, people tend to pigeonhole or generalize on anything, and owning a bar and restaurant is a lot different than just owning a restaurant because of the way
that it's more problems.
Well, no, it's actually what happens is there's it's a different kind of competition because there's a restriction on the amount of liquor licenses that there are in Pennsylvania,
right.
And in any county. So as a result, if you can get one, you know, it's your chances of success are much higher. Let's put it that way. And then on top of that, the world's changed so much because of the cloud, the internet, that everything is up in the cloud now, including the whole POS system, including the OpenTable app, which my dad had a shoe store growing up, and I said, Dad, imagine if you could log in, see how many people were going to buy shoes on next Saturday. You'd be more motivated, and you'd understand your business a lot better. So I think there's things you can do that keep it from making you so crazy that you can't run a business, and I'm hopeful.
Well, and you should be. I mean, there's no question this thing is going to succeed. And talk a little bit as the landlord there mm-hmm. and the building. So how many actual units or you know, addresses
sure.
along that strip in that building do you own? And talk about what else, because there's a couple of other elements.
Yeah, what we did was we didn't want it to just be another nail salon or another dry cleaner. We were really looking for things that would have created the mood that connected to first the Ardmore Music Hall and knowing we were going to do Ripplewood Whiskey and Craft next door. So a guy came along who also had never been in the restaurant business before, but he's a Korean guy named Paul Kong, and he opened Bam Bam Seoul, S-E-O-U-L, Kitchen in two
Seoul
of the spaces.
Seoul was in the country, the city. Rather. Yeah.
And so he's opened, and he's the first Korean restaurant on the main line. He's opened to about 4 months now.
Also fabulous.
And it's doing great, and it's very authentic. And then there was one other space available, and Laura Mann, who actually is a local presence singer-songwriter, she wanted to open a small music venue, and she's opened about a month now, and she has live acts Friday and Saturday night. She'll have comedy. She has an art gallery. She's had Jeffrey Gaines played there last weekend.
Right.
And she's had Scott McClatchy, and she's doing great too. And it's when you see that neighborhood now at night on a Friday night, and you see seven, basically, because the Ardmore Music Hall is three units too. Not we don't own it, but I'm saying like it's part of the vibe there. We've
sure.
got seven stores in a row worth of entertainment.
And to me, this is so critical. The parking situation couldn't be better
mm-hmm.
there. I mean, if you want to explain, tell people how, you know, what the parking for.
Right. Right behind us is the R5 stop for Ardmore, where the Amtrak train stops and SEPTA. So a lot of people take the train in and out and commute that way. But there's also a parking lot there, which we're allowed to use after 5 o'clock.
And parking is free.
And parking is free. And parking is free after 6 for the meters. And if you stay on our side of the street and go east, there's lots of parking. Most people tend to drive up to the location, and then it gets frustrating. But if you kind of anticipate where the parking is up front, there's plenty of parking.
Are you talking about street parking?
Well, it's a parking lot that
okay.
The employees of Lower Marion Township at 4 o'clock release to us.
Oh, wow.
And they're blue signs, and they say when you can't park. They don't say when you can park.
Right.
So they're very confusing to people. because people don't it's hard to read something that you can't do. You want to see something you can do. So we're working on that.
So we have a few minutes left, and let's talk about what kind of got you into all this, and that's the whiskey element of it. So if, you know, let's talk a little bit about that. This isn't just a place where you get your basic Jamesons and Jack Daniels and so on. This is a place for real whiskey connoisseurs, right?
Yeah, we want to develop a very strong whiskey list, which takes time to do because most of the good bottles are already snagged by other restaurant bars, and so you have to be patient. So we're slowly going to build up our product mix so that we can have some really good stuff. And we're even talking about getting a very, very expensive bottle and selling it at cost so that people can try it. Because let's say there's a $400 or $500 bottle, and normally you'd have to mark that up substantially.
Sure.
But what if you sold that just at cost? Everyone could get 1 ounce of it and give yourself a chance for $30 or $40 to taste something that might, you know, you couldn't buy it. You wouldn't buy a bottle of it, but you might
come back and have
it.
another pop or two at the bar.
So we're thinking of doing that as a promotion. We've got outdoor space, which is going to be open in 2 weeks. We're going to have possibly a cigar night and blend that with whiskey. And, you know, but not to say we're just a whiskey bar, because we have all the other things.
Sure.
Our avocado margarita is our most popular drink, and it's not even a whiskey drink.
Hmm. Interesting. What is it? Avocado margarita with actual avocado in it?
Yeah. Everything we do is purveyed fresh. That's why we hate to make cosmopolitans, because you can't really have fresh cranberry juice. We'll make them, but we explain to people that that's like the one drink that's not going to be fresh. And we even have kombucha on tap, which is fermented tea with very, very low alcohol, like 0.05%. So it is considered alcohol, but it is a great refreshing drink that's basically non-alcoholic. We're one of 6 bars in all of Philadelphia that have it on tap.
Well, I want to wish you the bestest of luck.
Thank you.
It is a really cool space. And the menu, like I said, I'm kind of picky and kind of traditional. I'm a meat and potatoes kind of guy. But I just, you know, everything last week was just phenomenal. And I think your only problem is going to be beating the crowds off. I mean, there's this going to be, especially once the summer hits and you got the back open. I mean, the weather tonight would be perfect.
Yep.
So just really, really great job. And that is, one more time, the Ripplewood Whiskey and Craft. It is at 29
East,
East Ardmore.
29 East Lancaster.
Or Lancaster, rather. Right, not Ardmore. I mean, Lancaster Avenue, I was going to say, adjacent. So if you're looking at the restaurant, the bar from the street to your immediate left, Ardmore Music Hall, very easy to find. So go, if you're going to a show at the Ardmore, you come in before, you got a bite to eat, and you come in afterwards, and you drink, and you maybe a little more nosh, and what a great night.
We'll all get our bills paid.
And I'll get your bills paid. Peter S. Martin, thank you so much for spending some time with us on the show today, man.
Thank you, Chuck Darrow.
Take care. And we will be back right after this.
Sign up for a Rush Rewards card at Sugar House Casino, and you could earn up to $300 in same-day free play on your first visit. In enrolling, new Rush Rewards members receive $10 in free play guaranteed. Visit Rush Rewards for details. The all-new Sugar House Casino. More to love. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Yeah. Hey, we were back. Oops. You see that? That's what happens. I get distracted easily, which is why I usually don't have people in the studio, because, you know, I have what's known as ADHD, which is attention deficit. Hey, donuts. So, you know, anyway, people, thanks so much. And we're going to scurry right along. And, of course, after a week's hiatus, he is back with us. And the hardest working man in showbiz. And you read them all over the place, including, I believe now, BillyPenn.com. The news and info website. Congratulations on that. That's very cool. And A.D. Amorosi is his name-o. What's going on, man?
How are you, son? Thank you for shouting out Billy Penn.
Good site.
It's a very, very, very cool site to be with. And
they didn't do much entertainment-wise prior to this, though, have they? There's been more, like, serious, right? News and issue kind of thing. So that's
a lot news.
food culture, city culture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're hoping to bring a little more arts and entertainment to Billy Penn. I'm going to be doing every other week a Philly curated thing, which I would like to say is my look at the what I consider to be underground.
Nice.
And then in between that, features with, you know, names big and small. I interviewed Dennis Miller for Billy Penn this
uh-huh.
morning.
Babe.
Yep.
he's going to be on the show next week, and he used a great line. I won't spoil it, but I asked him.
Okay.
It was about what he thought was the whole Stormy Daniels thing is going to play out, and typically hilarious. I love Dennis Miller. Anybody who in the middle of an act goes just out of nowhere makes a reference to the song Vicious off Lou Reed's Transformer album is okay.
Sure.
He's okay in my book, which he actually did once many years ago.
Yeah, he right in the middle of the conversation, he called. I read the story, everyone.
Okay,
but he called somebody Don Draper out of nowhere,
right?
And I thought beautiful. So yeah, Dennis Miller, longtime favorite. Happy to be speaking with him this morning. So thank you.
Nice.
But
okay,
let's get a little closer to music and
let's
a little closer to what's going on this week. Tonight at Union Transfer, two Philadelphia expatriates in an electronic duo named Marion Hill are doing a record release party for their new for their new album Unusual. Now, why do we care? We care because these guys jumped up the charts due to their music last year around this exact same time being used in the Apple AirPod thing that came out last
right.
season. And they just Apple just happened to catch wind of their music. It's very, you know what? A little bit in the same way that Yazoo was. They're a synth duo that likes to use the blues as their palette.
Interesting.
So they're not just, you know, your typical nameless, faceless electronic
right.
pop act.
Right.
And Jeremy Lloyd, Samantha Gongle, they're both, like I said, they're both out of Philly. And we wish him well tonight.
Yep.
Tomorrow night, Eric Burden is playing the Keswick, the original, you know, you mentioned Lou Reed.
Yep.
Eric Burden's the original rock and roll animal.
That's true.
Certainly.
I watch the Ed Sullivan Show reruns or something that they'll be on. And I wonder, I think about their catalog, you know, of hits and why they weren't the Rolling Stones. I guess it has to do with Jagger, that he didn't have that animal sex appeal that teenage girls go crazy for. But because musically and material wise,
oh yeah,
you know, when it comes to British blues bands of the '60s, they could go toe to toe with the Stones, I think.
Yeah, and as musicians, I think they may have been. I don't want to say they were necessarily better musicians, but they had better qualifications as musicians. They were all, in the same way that Charlie Watts is a jazz cat, you know, I think
right.
half the animals were jazz cats, you know. So, yeah, it's, and you know, you're right. Eric Burden and the Animals were not as pretty as the Rolling Stones. Simple as that.
Yeah.
So, and you know what? He still has a great voice. It's going to be an amazing
nice.
Show.
Okay.
The night after that, Kurt Cobain's favorite band, the Melvins, are going to be at Underground Arts. These guys have been together since the late 80s. You know, for lack of a better way of putting it, they were grunge before there was a grunge.
Hmm.
You know, they made a really sort of down-tuned,
right.
lo-fi
from Seattle or not?
Rock.
Were they from? Are they from Seattle?
No, the Melvins are not from Seattle. And you know what? I'm not going to lie and pretend I know where they are.
Okay, fair enough.
Buzz Melvin has been, they are from Washington.
Oh, okay.
Not Seattle, but from Washington.
Close
so
enough.
There we go.
Okay, close enough.
And who else do we have coming this weekend? Oh, I should add, I just lost my place. Manette Sudler. Right?
Yeah.
If Philly, everyone talks about Pat Martino as Philadelphia's preeminent jazz guitarist, and I will not take that away from him. But I would also add that right next to him is Ms. Sudler, whose first album is having its 40th anniversary this year. And on May 12th, she is hosting the 9th annual Guitar Summit, which is going to feature other local cats like Jamal Adine Takuma. Certainly, worth its weight at World Cafe Live. Nice. How are we doing for time here?
We're pretty much out of it. So I'm time this to wish you.
Okay.
Go ahead. One more name, quick.
Okay, Lake Street.
Oh yeah.
They are in my mind. They are, Lambert, Hendrix, and Ross with an indie rock kick.
Yeah, great. That's a great description. And at least one of the members is from around here, if not all of them. I'm not that familiar.
They're from, I think, like Allentown. So, yeah definitely everyone get out to that gig.
They're at the Tower, right?
The Tower.
Yeah. Great. A.D. Amorosi, thank you so much. So much for such a complete and insightful rundown on the musical comings and goings here in Philly. We'll do it again next week. Thanks a lot, man.
Thank you, Seth.
Take care. And we catch our breath for 32 ticks, not even seconds, just ticks. And we bring on our final guest, final regular contributor of the week. She always wraps things up on such a high note. I love having her on the show. She is our Triple M, our marvelous movie maven, and her name, her online is Tinsel and Tyne, tinseltyne.com. But here she's just good old Leanne Lindsay. Hey.
Good old Leanne Lindsay. Yeah, good old Leanne Lindsay seems to always lose 2 minutes of her time.
We're good. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of you, baby. I always take good care of you, don't I?
Yes, you always take good care of all of us. Hi, Chuck.
Hey.
So we did say last week that we were going to talk about MoviePass and we're going to skip
yes.
the box office. So we'll go right into that. I started to explain that MoviePass is a service that started last August, where you pay $10 a month. It's actually $9.95 to be exact.
Okay.
And you can see any movie you want any time of day, but you can only see one movie a day. And the service is only good for one person. So if you usually go to the movies as a couple, both people have to sign up for MoviePass. But it's a steal because if you go to just two more movies in the month, you're pretty much saving like $20 to $25 because you got to figure most movies are actually more than $10. They're usually more like $12.
Yeah, right. So basically the first movie pretty much pays for and everything else is basically free movies, right?
And the rest of it is free movies. So it's like it's such an incredible deal. I had been waiting, though, because I see so many of the mainstream movies. I wanted it to be some of the indie movies, some of those
sure.
foreign films and indie movies that you'd like to see, but you don't want to shell out the $10 or $12. I don't always get a press screening for them. You have to otherwise wait till Wednesday to see them at the Rich Theater for some. And so now Landmark Theaters is a part of MoviePass, so you can do that. You can check those all out. I understand even the Roxy and the Prince as well, but I do have to verify that.
Okay, so I'm just sort of not getting. I mean, I get the concept, but I don't understand how this works in the studio's favor, because essentially. I mean, you know, who gets that $10 for that? You know, you could go see a movie that's put out by Universal and then go see a free Paramount movie, right? I mean, you know, you pay $10, and the first movie would be like a Universal Studios, and then you're seeing a Paramount movie for free. So what's in it for Paramount?
Right. It's not really about the studios, believe it or not. It's about the movie theaters. So, like, Regal and Cinemark don't have a problem with it. AMC does. Now, the thing is that the theaters are not losing any money because MoviePass covers the full price of every ticket to every theater. So if it was, you know, a $13 ticket before, and they're going to send them a $13.
Okay. So where is
MoviePass? AMC does have a problem with the model. They're still a part of it, but they do grouse a lot about it. And their problem is they think that this company's not going to last. And once people get used to seeing so many free movies, they won't want to go back to paying full price again. And that it'll, like, make a dearth again at the theater. And they're probably right, because the Hollywood Reporter did a survey and found out, on average, MoviePass users are going to the movies about 6 to 7 more times a month compared to non-subscribers.
Well, sure.
They're twice as likely to attend the movie on the opening weekend, and that's where the studios care about. They want that metric of, you know, that big opening weekend box office. So they're actually more on the side of MoviePass. They also say that more parents that are MoviePass subscribers are now going to the movies because it doesn't cost as much to go to the movies, so you could pay that babysitter, you know?
Wow.
And then,
but so I guess
going in the middle of the week, they're going alone, and they're going to see things that got a Rotten Tomatoes, you know, poor rating, but you know, you'd
well,
like
of
to
course
check it out anyway.
Doesn't cost them anything now, so why not?
It doesn't cost you anything.
But okay, so and I don't know if you can answer this because you're not a business person, you know, business writer or anything, but so I mean, how does MoviePass make money? If they're paying like, let's just say on average, let's just say $10 for me to go. I see one movie a week. The first one, $10 ticket is covered. You know, I mean, I pay for that. But that's $30 that they're paying for me to go the rest of that month. How do they make money? How does MoviePass make a profit if they're paying $30 each month for me to see a movie? See movies, rather.
Right. Well, they're definitely not operating in the black right now. But they weren't intending to make a profit off of this part of the
so
model.
Is it in data?
They're
guess the
owned
database?
By a company. No, yes, they're owned by a company called Helios Matheson Analytics, and they're a provider of information technology services and solutions. So, in other words, they created MoviePass because they wanted to use people's movie-going habits to get consumer
Bingo.
Data.
Bingo. Okay,
which,
now it makes sense.
Isn't that what Facebook got in trouble for, though?
Yes. Well, they didn't get in trouble for doing it. I think it was more they got in trouble for not telling us they were doing it. I mean, doing it in and of itself, because you can give permission or you can opt out. But you can't give permission to something that you're not asked for permission.
Right. Somewhere in the, you know, the fine print, because even I didn't read all the fine print.
Of course
print,
not.
This probably says that this is happening. And because they're not selling directly to a third party, because they kind of are the third party.
Right.
So, you know, but, you know, there are some business articles that are reporting that MoviePass is losing more money than they intended, though.
Right.
Because they grew so fast. They have 2 million subscribers already. And so last month, so I was finally going to do it. When I heard about Ritz Theaters, I was like, okay, I'm in now. And I went to go sign up last month, and they had changed the deal. Instead of the $9.95 unlimited movies, it was $9.95 for only 4 movies a month, and they combined it with an iHeartRadio deal that I had zero interest in.
Right.
You know, like iHeartRadio
sure.
music streaming and podcasting.
Hey, right now we are being streamed on iHeartRadio.
Oh, well, sorry. But it just seemed like to me that once you combine those two things and then the trial was over, that you it would be difficult to get out of the iHeart without canceling your movie pass, and then it would maybe start to cost more. I just didn't like the idea of the two of them together. So I waited, but I did write to the company, and I put them on social media blast, and I don't think I was the only person, because as of May 1st, they started a two plant. They went back to the original $9.95
right.
Unlimited,
huh.
But now they have three movies a month plus the iHeartRadio for $7.95 a month.
Interesting.
So now you can pick a plan.
Right.
They didn't
so,
have
so last question on this subject, and then we'll go next week. We'll go back to our regular reports because it's really interesting, and it could really be a game changer to some degree in the industry, I'm sure. What do you? I mean, your gut feeling is this going to be?
I mean, my gut feeling is I want to use it for as long as I can. They do say in the part in the fine print is that they can change the rules at any time. They could change the cost of it. They could change how many movies you could see a month. They have the right to change the. So there's no
right.
being grandfathered
but,
in.
Right, but I'm saying, so, but I mean, the basic concept. Do you think this is? You know, here to
but I
stay.
I love the concept. I mean, the concept gets people out to the movies. So that, to me, is my favorite thing because, to me, seeing a movie at home or on my phone or
on my
laptop.
Not the same thing.
It's not the same. It's just not. I like going to the movies, and I'm glad this is bringing people back to
and
the movies.
We are so glad that you go to the movies. So we will wrap it up there because we wouldn't have much to talk about on the air if you didn't. So it works out. Everybody wins.
It works out for everybody.
Tinsel Time.
And, just saying,
go ahead.
In theaters this Friday, two female-driven movies, Breaking In with Gabrielle Union and Life for the Party with Melissa McCarthy.
Which we can talk about next week. Leanne Lindsay, check her out on tinseltime.com. Even better than paying $9.95 a month. Free tickets to screenings. Check it out. And, of course, give that Aunt Lucky Ears a big hug and kiss from me. And we'll talk next week.
Yes, we will. Thanks, Chad.
Bye-bye. So, I guess that wraps... That kind of wraps things up here on this week's edition of That Showbiz. I want to, of course, thank my very special guest this week in studio. It's always so nice to have a body to look at while I talk. Sometimes that doesn't work out, does it, Brett, when we have a live body in here? No. But today it did.
For once.
anyway, I want to thank Peter S. Martin, co-owner of Ripplewood Whiskey and Craft. Check it out. It really is something special. I truly believe that. I want to thank my regular contributors, Leanne Lindsay, A.D. Amorosi, Ken Allen, and Neil Zurin. I want to tell you that next week, our very special guest, not in the studio, on tape, but a guest nonetheless, Dennis Miller, the great Dennis Miller, one of the smartest comics in my lifetime. I just think he's a funny guy. I'm looking forward to running that interview, and let's see what else. Oh, yeah, I can only leave you with this little bit of advice. As you go through this craziness called life, and life gets crazier by the minute these days, don't get too high, don't get too low, just keep one thing in mind. Hey, that's showbiz. Ethel, take us home.
There's no business like show business, like no business I know. Everything about it is appealing. Everything the traffic will allow. Nowhere could you get that happy feeling when you are still.